You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Done rehearsal, everyone on their A game. Remember, we are top draw professionals, thank you.
Camera time!
Two words, no words. Third word.
I'm first assistant director. It's my job to keep the actors from killing themselves.
I might be having a few side effects from my human growth hormones.
And I work with the director, assisting his vision.
I'd like to fire the sound man.
Okay, you can't do that.
He's wearing the indoor scarf. I thought only directors wear the indoor scarf. Is he mocking me?
The studio's coming today.
This production was in chaos.
Gloves off right now. Let's go.
Now be a good time to talk about career progressions.
Do not panic. We're going to execute this and show how good we are. Forward cinema.
Nose clips on. Let's eat shit.
And cut.
We've cut there. I'm going to get this stunt if it kills me and everyone involved in this production.
Dan, I've got health and safety for you.
Welcome. Thank you, health and safety. Onwards. With caution.
Bad news. The culture thinks the studio has a woman problem.
I may have done a sexism once, but I've always wanted to make a feminism. How did I miss this?
If anything, it's probably my fault.
In a way, yes.
I just want this to be a good film.
If you care too much about this job, it will kill you.
What if we all just lost our minds out here?
Mark! Jeez.
Oh, it's happening.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and I am joined this evening by first assistant, second assistant to the gaffer's best boy, Quinny.
Shit, I've been demoted.
DOP.
I was definitely a second best boy at some point in time.
DOP down with the OPP, Jill, and and Peter, who's a real professional. Yeah, and Peter, who's a real professional, I'm not even going to try and make a joke because I don't want to do a sexism.
Yeah, actual Emmy award-winning Peter.
Very, very, very different kind of work.
A very different kind.
Are you trying to tell us that you've never worked on a gigantic superhero movie with billions of dollars invested in it and terrifyingly egotistical stars and stuff like that, Peter?
That is exactly what I'm trying to tell you.
I mean, but you worked with Nemo, so what's he like? You know, really, really needy.
Took 6 months to breed zero stars.
What are we?
Required three meals a day in an extremely specific aquarium temperature. Zero stars.
Yeah,
you kind of buggered up your social life for about 6 months. Zero stars.
Yeah. Like, hey, do you want to get into film? Do you like OCD and ADHD? Congratulations. Here's a career for you. There could have been like a Baron Nemo. Huh? Get it? Fuck. I give up.
What is Jill's title on this film?
DOP in charge of OPP.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I'm down with OPP. You know me.
Yes, that's a 90s reference for all the kids out
there. Yeah. We are so cool and hip and down with the kids.
Yes. Much like this series. What is this series that we're talking about tonight?
Franchise.
Yes.
The franchise.
It's something that's incredibly difficult to search for online. Like when you're trying to find the official web pages for it or anything like that, searching for the franchise is surprisingly difficult to find what you want.
And how many McDonald's or Subway pages did you have to wade through before you found the correct franchise?
All of them, but on a nice thing, I have a job now.
Oh, good. Is it with Jim's mowing?
No, I'm just flipping burgers or sausages or sandwiches. I don't know. I'm flipping something.
So you're actually working for like a movie studio. You're making the sausages.
Yes, I'm in crafty. So, yeah, we actually talked about this one a little bit a while ago. We showed the trailer for it as one of our little sort of, hey, what's been keeping our interest at the end of the show. And at the time, I remember thinking, oh, yeah, I look forward to seeing that. And then almost entirely forgetting to do that. And then...
How do you feel now after having watched some episodes?
I feel slightly abused. Like, it's, yeah, it's funny, but if you've ever worked in any kind of film, there's a certain amount of PTSD that you kind of see in it. I see you pulling a face, Dion.
I mean, what are they done? Like recently, they've done The Bear. You know, that gives anyone who's ever worked in the service industry PTSD. Are You Being Served must have annoyed anyone who's worked in retail. yeah, there's a whole thing. What was the one that was about reality TV?
Oh.
That was quite good, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And Mythic Quest. Yes, I know, right? Think about it while we're going. There was that reality TV one, which was basically like the producers showing how manipulative they are. And this is just another in the long line of like, hey, this is what actually happens in behind the scenes, considering that superhero movies or franchise movies are now a genre. You could call them a genre. Mm. It's not like, hey, we'll make one and then maybe it'll get a sequel and then we can create a franchise and Peter's got a point.
Unreal is what that series was called.
Unreal.
And I mean, you know, Big Brother, you could say that was a behind the scenes one. But yeah, this is just it's an 80s wet dream, much like Californication was a writer writing about writers and how cool they are and how much sex they have. This one felt very much like, I am an AD and I'm going to write a TV show about being an AD on these films and other films, and aren't ADs amazing? Anyway, I have many problems, one of which is nicotine addiction. I'm going to put that in the script. Yeah.
For clarification, what is an AD?
Well, it's generally...
First assistant director is the official title of the key character we are following.
Yes.
And also it's those things that pop up every few minutes in Twitch.
The voice of the audience, yes.
I'm the correct voice of the audience who may or may not know what the fucking AD is, or a first AD, or what, in fact, a gaffer does, or a key grip, or any of those.
Well, because nothing is what it sounds like.
The gaffer is in charge
does not actually assist the director. Yes. So.
You're correct there, Jill. And that's usually handed off. And the gaffer makes sure that no one messes with the best boy. Because he's the best boy.
Yeah. And the best boy is just someone that's there that everybody loves.
Yeah. Yeah. And right at the bottom of the pecking order are the runners. Or is it background?
I was going to say it's probably background.
But the first AD is the guy that makes everything work on the ground, right?
Or like, girl.
Guy meaning person.
Yes, exactly.
In a non-gender specific way. So this will be the person who like plans the day-to-day of the scheduling, what's going to be happening every day, and works with everybody to make sure that that day-to-day actually fucking happens on the day, and that the minutes go into the can that need to go into the can, and that nothing goes terribly wrong or nobody gets horribly injured, and everybody eats their lunch and gets everything that's due to them in the process.
Yes.
Generally sleeps about 40 minutes a day.
Yeah. They're more often the one that's saying, no, you don't have time for another setup. No, we've actually got a wrap now. No, that, like, they're often the ones who are saying no.
So they're essentially assisting the director to not go on a fucking tangent and actually get the film made.
It's like they're the most pivotal point in a production.
On the ground, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they can also, if you've got a shit one, they can kind of let things go to hell. Like a bad AD who's not keeping an eye on things or who is distracted, shit will just start running late. set, like you'll start getting less setups. The director will do way too much fucking rehearsal. And the fun that I like here is seeing also this AD who's unusually getting reamed by the studio and the execs and the producers as well. I don't think I've ever worked on anything big enough to have a studio glowering over the top. So usually the AD does only answers to the clock, not to the producers.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, hey, this is a fictionalized version of a fictionalized franchise doing a fictionalized tale. Give them some liberties. There has to be some comedic setup somewhere. And if everyone's getting reamed by the studio, fair enough. And, you know, either you're going to smile and be like Richard E. Grant and start reaming people back or just eating shit, or you're going to freak out about it and take too much human growth hormone because you're Doritoing yourself. I knew that phrase from Jill.
I love that they put it in this show. It's now become a zeitgeist word. It's like I've Doritoed myself and now I have terrible backne.
And maybe wool.
Yeah. Been taking sheep growth hormones and now I am growing wool.
Should we before we get too far into this, because we've already just gone down a tangent about this, have a synopsis? Synopsis of this, yeah. Quinny? Yes. Do you have a synopsis?
Absolutely. What ridiculous accent should it be in?
Oh, in a world.
Yes, give us movie trailers.
Okay, yeah, full movie trailer. Movie trailer, in real close to the mic.
Yeah.
Turn the thing so I can read it. Can I have some more bass? I know that's not how it works, but I'm ready for my close-up.
You're too hot, Quinny. Just bass it out.
The franchise follows the crew of an unloved franchise movie, fighting for their place in a savage and unruly cinematic universe. The comedy series shines a light on the secret chaos inside the world of superhero movie making, asking how exactly the cinematic sausage gets made. Every mistake has an origin story.
Yeah, that's because I still had the Superman theme there from two to three shows ago.
I realized that was basically just Optimus Prime for the first half. And then I went, oh, hang on, it's meant to be Trailer Guy, who is a
bit.
Yeah. My apologies. And yes, if you want that for ASMR, I am available. I will whisper into a microphone for you.
Really?
And Jill's face tells me exactly how successful that's going to be. As a She's like, ew.
I'm someone that just doesn't get any tingles from ASMR.
Right. Look. And hopefully also just to clarify too, we're talking about the 2024 The Franchise, not the 2011 baseball TV series The Franchise from Showtime.
They should have looked closer at that name, shouldn't they?
Just in case, you know.
It's like basically unsearchable and it's already been used.
Yeah. I must admit, like many years ago, I made a web series and we call it Pilot because it was all about a bunch of people trying to make a pilot. Fucking idiots. How do you search for that piece of shit? You don't. Never got finished. Anyway. So
we watched a thing. There's only 5 episodes out at the moment.
6.
So I think we've all watched a few.
Episode 6 came out yesterday.
Oh, well.
Episode 6 dropped.
There's only 5 episodes.
While I was watching it. While I was covering off everything and I went, fine, I've finished all 5 that are, why is it starting again? This is it's resolved.
I switched it off at the beginning of 5. I'm gonna come clean. I've seen 4 episodes of this, but like that's one beyond my usual 3 episode commitment, so I feel qualified to comment.
Yeah, you are absolutely. Yeah. I think you honestly, within the first episode, you've probably got a fair idea as to what the show is like and what it's, you know,
it
what it's gonna
really
serve
take
up to you.
Off, you know,
yeah, like it hits the a point in episode three where suddenly this changes the whole direction or anything like that.
No. If you like the style of the humor in episode one, you will enjoy it equally in two through four. And if you don't like the style of the humor in episode one, you will be as indifferent about it equally for the following episodes.
This is accurate.
Okay. Well, hang on. Quick.
Which one do you think I was?
Quick round table then. Who got through all six?
Not six. I've only five.
Then you just don't have enough information to judge the series on its merits.
Okay, so episode six.
Does
really
it suddenly get amazing in episode six?
No, but it actually has resolution and makes you feel for some of the characters because you have some revelations that you're like, oh.
It's too late. It's too late to feel about the characters in episode six. I'm sorry. I feel like I have all of the information that I need.
I mean, I kind of liked it because it was just the whole series is just a metaphor for being in one of these things, which is like, is it going to be a Madam Web or is it going to be, you know, another thing? They don't know. They just keep making it and they keep having things happen and they're just, all they're trying to do is get it in the fucking can. That's all they're trying to do. And once you get okay with that, then you start paying attention to the people around, you know, the rest of the show, like all of the other side kind of characters there, and you start going, oh, okay. But you're right, it does lack a little bit of chutzpah, especially with the cast, given that the cast was so good.
I love all of the actors in this, and I love the concept of it, which I think is why I was a little bit, you know, it just didn't get me going. You know, I feel like, and I'm not, I mean, I don't like Anchorman, so I am definitely not like the be-all and end-all when it comes to comedy judgments at all.
And you did like Anchorman.
I mean, you know, stylistically, in terms of this comedy, it's very much like a comedy of errors. And if you compare it tonally to something like Avenue 5, I just found it really, like, lackluster. I feel like it could have gone there and it didn't.
See, I was so excited for this because I loved Avenue 5 and the same showrunner works on this, Armando Iannucci. And I was like, yes, this is going to be amazing because it's going to be poking fun at superhero franchises and we're all like, you know, feeling fatigue from that. So we can all relate to the goings on behind the scenes and what that would look like with the studios, like working with the directors and the producers and all that kind of stuff. And I thought this is going to be hilarious, but I just don't feel like the cast are punching it like the cast did on Avenue 5 with the same kind of humor. I don't know.
It doesn't escalate in the same way.
The weird thing is I love Himesh Patel. I think he's a great actor. I think he was fantastic in that other show and other things that he's been in, but I just don't know if they can, you know, rest a whole show on his back as the main character. I don't feel like he's got enough punch with the comedic delivery. He's got his own version of that, but I feel like if there was somebody else that, if they felt like they were somebody that would be very adept and in control of a situation, and they have lost control of that because of everybody else around it, that's where the humor comes from. But I just feel like this is a guy that's treading water and stuff keeps getting piled on top and there's no humor in him having lost that control, if you know what I mean.
And even when he gets reamed out at one point, like by the producers and stuff, and I was expecting that to be like a real fucking, like a, not heartbreaking, but a real hefty scene, I kind of felt it was a little bit weak and a bit like, oh, okay. I agree. I've been desperately wanting to like it all the way through. Like I was really on board for this to be really funny and kind of, skewering all of the tropes of superhero movies and everything. But it feels occasionally a little lazy or like it doesn't have quite enough. Like if you're going for comedy of errors, you kind of have to really layer the drama. Like, you've got to keep piling on the shit going wrong. And I feel like quite often this lets you off the hook a little too easy.
I feel Sorry, you go, Jill.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I agree with you both in what you're saying about that, which was I got it and went, ooh, it feels like they had stories that they wanted to tell about actual things, but they might have been too close to actual productions. Like, there might have been things in there and they got a little bit worried about being sued or creating a bit too much division in it, which, made it a bit too safe and not as funny as you want. But there's a lot of money in this show as well. Like, it kind of felt like it was a very interesting metaphor about the actual industry because, you know, lots of money, lots of hands involved, a lot of people going, oh, maybe you shouldn't. And then by the end you're just kind of like, oh, it's a bit middling. It's a little bit middling.
There's some really good gags in there, though, as well. And unfortunately, majority of them are in that trailer that we saw at the top of the show. Like, the funny thing is, like, oh, I haven't I've done a sexism before, but I want to really want to do a feminism next. Like, Daniel Brühl has some great lines in the show, but unfortunately they just kind of all fall a bit flat because the setup is so expected. Like, you kind of see the gag coming.
Yeah,
they could have leaned into that more about the non-English speaking director who is an auteur who cannot communicate quite adequately to the crew and the cast and keeps screwing things up because English isn't their first language. Like, that could have been a lot funnier and played a little bit more for laughs, like in what was the Bill Murray one, Lost in Translation, you remember, with the Japanese ad directors. It didn't
faster,
speak.
More intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy the dynamic of Billy Magnuson's character and Richard E. Grant. Like, I feel like there's definitely stuff there, but again, if that got dialed up to 11, the kind of antagonism that's going on, then sure, that would be funnier as well.
It also feels kind of like that's the only two actors who are working on this thing, that and the guy who's in every scene.
Everything is just really safe.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like it wasn't until episode 4 when Nick Kroll showed up that, like, it started to feel a bit punchier and a bit tighter. But that's because it's like, oh, here's this amazing comedy legend, Nick Kroll. He's just going to, like, walk in and chew the scenery and completely destroy the episode. And then now we have to go back to what it was before.
And so a telling and weird thing is that the way that I somehow managed to get the episodes out of order.
Oh,
so okay. Yeah, I'd watched episode 3, 5 and then 4.
Oh god.
And the weird thing is it didn't actually impact the story at all.
But that is indicative of the problem here, you know. Avenue 5, like, every single episode, nothing resolved. The end of the episode was like the shit had piled on, and the question was, how are they going to deal with this shit? And then in the next episode, more shit piled on. Whereas I feel like this takes a kind of a different structure where each episode is like a standalone thing. The shit that got piled on in this episode is resolved, and then next episode we visit some more shit getting piled on and then resolve it. And it just kind of takes away that element of like, oh, really? Now this? That's hilarious. It feels a little bit tropey, a little bit, you know. I mean, it's fun to play on stereotypes with certain character types, but it's also kind of lazy when you have a cast this good as well to lean into those stereotypes. So, you know, while the performances are enjoyable, like, I'm kind of more mad at the approach to the story and characters from a fundamental level for not taking more advantage of you know, how great the cast is and what you could do with a cast like that.
I mean,
you know, just like, I don't sit there hating it. I just kind of like wanted to be a bit more amused than
yeah.
I was.
Yeah. I really did enjoy the Lilac Ghost episode where you had Catherine Waterson in it playing the actor who is an actor's actor, and they've just got her in for like a very quick shoot, which turns into an insufferably long shoot. And I like that bit when they
pure
go into the
Kate Blanchett energy.
Yeah, yeah, where they pure go into the trailer and she's like, "Oh, are you okay?" It's like, no, I just like I sit here this way because I can cry like this, so it doesn't affect my makeup. See, she's just weeping because she's stuck in this horrible kind of effort that she has to do because of whatever, and everyone knows it's terrible, and they just keep going.
There's a
and Kate makes a point that episode, but again, the point itself is kind of just a bit heavy-handed, like. It's sure. too obvious what is going to happen with everything that is kind of taking place there in regard to, you know, in regard to her issues already with the fan base and you know, we've got a female character problem and we want to give this female character more might in the film. So we're going to give her the most overpowered thing we can possibly give her because we all know, like, how much... comic book franchise fans absolutely love it when female characters are suddenly given what they perceive to be too much power.
And also entirely the wrong thing. Like, you know, like ignoring all of the backstory and lore and giving them something that they aren't meant to have. So it's like you've not only sort of undermined the power of what you're giving them, but also then fucking it up so you're going to lose on two fronts. And of course, Hero AD knows this.
In the way that point was made, you know, there was nothing that kind of, you know, made that payoff at the end of that episode.
No.
Say anything but what it was obviously trying to say in the first place. That's my review.
Middling.
Yeah.
There's a couple of characters
I find interesting. I hate to keep comparing it to Avenue 5, but. Another thing that I feel like this is missing is sound design. That we have amazing tension built in Avenue 5 through the soundtrack, and this I would find it difficult to even pinpoint one track that I keep hearing.
No, there isn't any.
I could admit, I found Avenue 5 lost me. Sorry. It's been mentioned a couple of times. I just realized, I was like, Avenue 5, I got lost on that one. I still haven't gone back. Maybe I should go back to it and look at it again.
I am so disappointed it got cancelled because I friggin' loved it.
I haven't finished season 2 because I knew it got cancelled and I'm like, God damn it, this is going to be one of those ones that leaves me feeling kind of two characters that I wanted to ask a little bit about. Because I think they're interesting, but at the same time, I keep going, what are you there for? So character of Dag, who's Lolly Adefobe, and the character of Steph, who's Jessica Hines. Like, I know that Steph's meant to be one of the writers, but also seems to be a continuity person.
She's a script supervisor. What are you talking about?
Okay, so she's script supervisor, right? So continuity and, you know, that makes sense. But then has this ongoing thing where she's trying to cozy up to anyone that moves, like, and is desperately trying to climb the ladder. And then Dag, who is third AD?
Yeah. Third AD, yeah.
And is also trying to just climb the ladder and do whatever she can. And I feel like there are a few times where I'm just like, What's the motivations of these characters? Like, they feel like they're a little samey. Like, a lot of them are a bit samey. And I know that's the industry. Everybody's just trying to get up and you know, make sure that they are saying the right thing in front of the right people at the right time. But, yeah, there are a few times where I was just like, what are you for?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't even feel that Dag really has motivations just yet. She's like brand new on the set in the first episode, and just kind of seems like she's there as a prop for other characters. Like, there's really not much in way of prerogative for her just yet. Like, she's cracked a few jokes about, oh, do you think I could have a day off for this? And it's like, you've been here 4 days, like, you're not having a day off. Or like, oh, do you think I could, like, go for this promotion? It's like, you've literally been here a week. Like, what are you talking about? I don't feel like those are ambitious lines. I just feel like it's there for the purpose of having to fill a conversation for those 5 minutes. It's a bit weird. Mm-hmm. She's a strange character.
Yeah. And sometimes the comedy for her works. Like, sometimes it lands really well and she'll get a good gag in.
Like the episode where, like, Christopher Nolan was going to come to set and nobody saw him, except at the end of the episode, there's Dag having a chat with Chris Nolan and the fucking Tom Cruise is there as well. And she gets in the car and off they go. And everyone's like, well, we were waiting for Christopher Nolan. Like, just
so that'll be episode
shit.
6 then.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, I was about to say, like that's the end of the series there, chill.
Oh, did I really spoil it?
No, I can't. Like, I mean, from this glowing review that I've seen, it's a definite some stars out of some. You know, direct to a DVD bin in a truck stop in Western Utah.
Yeah. Sorry, just Predakanga saying that as you initially thought of Dag as an audience insert, and I thought so too. I kind of thought that that was meant to be your window into this magical world of film and everything, but she's too knowledgeable for it and she's too driven and is too good at playing the game. So she doesn't feel like an audience insert. She feels like just another part of this weird menagerie. And I keep thinking of Noises Off, and it's because it's a really funny film. It's a really funny stage play. And what it does about being behind the scenes.
Yeah. And escalating. Constantly escalating.
And shit just getting more and more ludicrous because people are doing entirely what they would do. And, you know, but you just make sure that those things come in conflict with each other at all times. And, you know, even something as dumb as how often you put a call over the announcements to say 5 minutes before the show starts, you know, is a running gag that goes for 10 minutes and is fucking hilarious. Because everybody knows that feeling of like, oh shit, 5 minutes to the show starts, I better go for a piss. And that sort of feeling, and I think in much the same way, I feel like Mythic Quest did this sort of thing better too.
100%, yeah.
Because it is that thing of like, okay, here's a magical world, here's your way into it, and here's shit that just gets more and more and more and more ludicrous. And okay, Mythic Quest has 40 minutes an episode, but I still felt like this needed a bit more of that.
Yeah, it's almost like as if they're treading on eggshells trying not to offend anybody in the industry, where really they should be going to 11 and saying, hey, here's all the ridiculous things that we put up with as creators. Let's all just have a laugh collectively about it. Like, if
yeah.
It did keep amping up and escalating, it would be far more hilarious. But like we've said, it's pulling its punches and it's kind of not really landing the comedy.
Yeah, like even the whole Kevin Feige thing, which, you know, is not even remotely subtle.
His mythical, what's his name? Eric Shane?
Shane, I think.
Shane, yeah. Keep hearing about this guy. It's like, oh, we got to please Shane. It's like...
Yes, and Shane can see everything. Mm. What was that, sorry, Pete?
Shane's across it. Shane knows everything, and I'm pretty sure Shane doesn't know anything. And it's just the assistant making all the calls.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, there's one of those things I was like, that'd be really funny if you find out that, yeah, Shane does nothing, Byron.
Shane doesn't even exist. All of the communication just goes through Byron.
Bryson, sorry.
Bryson, and Bryson is... Shane.
Well, you know.
That would be, like those kinds of escalate, like that, yeah.
Based on the decisions of most...
We can rewrite it, but maybe not now.
Based on the decisions of most of the studio heads these days, I think they all have just put on and out of office and are letting ChatGPT make shit up. It's like, what are we going to put out now? I don't know. Another Game of Thrones prequel. Go. All right. All right, quickly then think about it for a second, your ratings, and then we'll go to a clip, and then we can talk about some other shit. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm going to give it a 60.
Oh, hang on. Ratings and then clip. Yes, right. Good.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yep. Got distracted. Say again. Sorry, Jill. I talked over the top of you because I'm an asshole. I did a feminism.
No, you did a sexism.
Oh, damn it. I always did that wrong. Guys.
Jesus. I'm going to give it 60. It's not as good as I wanted it to be, and that's disappointing. But I can see the merit. I can see the jokes, but they're just not quite fully cooked.
I'm with Jill. I'm sitting on 60 as well. Like, it just... Oh, it had so much potential. Like, I love all of the cast in other comedies, and I just, you know, use them better.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm giving it 96. I thought it was... 69. just...
Nice. Wow.
Look, you know, I liked it. Like, I liked the wryness of it, but it was hard to continue with it only because I watched like four episodes back to back while I was doing something else, like putting back together the OBS on this computer, which has not failed yet, but fucking touch wood somewhere.
Why would you say that out loud?
Why would you say something so bold?
idiotic.
Yeah. Okay. I know.
Okay, so that was a 69 for you. I'm very much in the same ballpark. I think it's 65. I do find it funny that Richard E. Grant is, you know, on the heels of having played old Loki and having played now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I do find it hilarious that he's in there and being the bitchiest old thesp I've ever seen. And I live for any moment that he's doing stuff on screen. Actually, my favorite moment of the whole show was the credit sequence of the episode with Nick Kroll.
Yeah. He's just making Richard E. Grant break constantly.
Yes, just. And I looked at that and I thought, I'm pretty sure that's real.
Yeah.
That looks like Richard E. Grant having a fucking good time.
Yeah.
It's awful to say, but I feel like my favorite bits of the episodes are like the two camera interviews that happen during the credits. So I'm like, why is this the funniest part? It shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? And once again, that's one of those things that maybe if they'd used that as a structure, like.
Oh, yeah, like a talking head segment throughout the episode or something.
Yeah. If it was put together by someone putting together the. You know, background, what we used to say, the DVD extras, but they're not anymore.
EPK. And sorry, what was that, Peter? You talked and...
Well, that kind of fly on the wall mockumentary style would have fitted more tonally where they fell. And then maybe if it was more kind of character-based and not comedy of errors-based, you would have ended up with something really, really watchable. But... You know, that doesn't seem to be what they were going for.
Like, there's a moment where there's a film that's also happening consecutively with this shoot, and it's going to happen timeline-wise before their movie, but they're both filming it simultaneously. And so there's, like, a one-upmanship that's kind of happening because it's like, oh, this other film is doing this. They stole your bit from this movie and they're amping it up for their film. And because theirs is coming out first, it means you have to match it. But they're not going to match it. They want to go higher. There's nothing funny about it.
No.
It's such a good gag, but really nothing happens.
No. Like when somebody goes and drives a golf cart into something, you're like, okay.
Yeah. But
the one sequence that I did find quite funny that then was never picked up and done anything with again was the Chinese tractors.
Yeah.
But even that was just kind of like, huh.
It's all half-baked.
Yeah. Right. Okay. A clip of something half-baked.
Let's go look at the clip.
Cameo day.
A more famous hero from a bigger movie turns up for 3 minutes and then leaves.
Hey, everybody.
You know each other? Great.
Yeah, we were on a show together.
Sorry, who's this?
Adam was just ranking all the races in order of sexual attractiveness.
No, I wasn't, though, but...
You have excellent energy. Peter Fairchild.
Eric, this is your movie. You need to push back. Locate your temper, okay?
Yes.
You want to do this, Turtle Dick?
Let's go. Gloves off.
Let's fuck!
What?
Apologies, I just tried something new. And action.
Let's fuck!
God.
Once again, only the funny bits in the trailers.
Yeah. And once again, that was a really heavily compressed selection of moments from that episode.
Yeah.
And you can kind of feel that they'll like grab all the funny bits and now smash them together really fast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of lacking that pacing. If everything was like a bit snappier, it'd probably be funnier.
Yeah. How many episodes is it going to be in the end?
Six. Haven't looked.
It's six.
Oh.
What?
No, it's wrapped at six, is it? Shit.
That didn't feel like the last episode.
Oh, no, sorry. My apologies. There's eight.
Right. Okay, that makes more sense.
Sorry. Well, I hope it it gets better for the last two. I'll watch the last two just to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I'll finish it.
Yeah.
That's a
tell you what, trying to get up the hill of four episodes was a struggle because I was like, oh, fuck, I really just don't want to watch this anymore.
I feel ya.
Oh, look, Pete, I haven't got anything for you to watch. Sorry.
Nothing
fun for you. Have you watched The Diplomat?
Yes.
Peter, have you tried Breaking Bad or The Wire?
No, I do want to know, Peter, have you watched The Diplomat?
Because she doesn't know. Her mic's gone out. She's pulled something.
No, I know.
I can run the...
Sorry, my Bluetooth went out. I had to switch it.
Oh, no.
Old-fashioned wires.
Peter, have you watched The Diplomat?
I have watched the first season. I have not started the second season yet. The advice that I've been given on watching the second season is watch the last episode of the first season again first.
Yeah.
Or just do what I do and didn't watch the first season and just started watching the second season.
Why? Why would you do that?
Dion is a chaos demon.
He truly is.
And yet
you bit me about Smile too.
I am the Mudang of the TV world.
Just bite everything. Just
take a bite out of this and a bite out of that one. Done.
I have heard The Jackal is good, and I want to get started on that this week.
Yes, I have heard that too. Yes, Pretty Kanga, Slow Horses, amazing. I watch Gary Oldman read the phone book, and in this one I kind of do. He just sort of eats and drinks and smokes and reads the phone book, and it's still amazing. It's like fucking genius. Okay. Check this out. Gary Oldman's lying on a couch, and he's snoring, and then he farts and goes to see a doctor. Fuck yeah. That's kind of what it is. How does he do it? Why is he an engaging character? Why do I like this guy who's like badly eating a kebab? Anyway, Slow Horses, get on it.
Yeah. I must admit, I haven't hit Slow Horses just yet.
Queenie, you've got to hit Slow Horses.
Got to hit Slow Horses.
It's not slow, I promise.
I mean, we're also aware of how quick I am to jump on all of the good shit.
Well, I mean, the good thing about Slow Horses is that you can kind of, like, it's not, they're short seasons, so it doesn't take too long to chew through. They get to the point.
Yeah, it's not fucking taxing. You don't need to worry about too, like, oh, this character was referenced in this episode and in this season. It's like, no, it's fine.
Like, they get to the point. They're very linear. There aren't too many characters. They're satisfyingly resolved their plots. It's a good watch. I like it.
We can't get too much into that because don't forget that next Tuesday we have to do Two for Tuesday, which is a talk about all of the second seasons of things that have been out. So we'll hold on for that one.
Hold on to Shrinking.
Yes.
Hold on to The Diplomat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Other seasons of things that I've forgotten that we wrote a list down of the things we're going to do and I should put it out there.
Now, are we doing it on Tuesday or are we doing it on Wednesday?
Well,
that's the thing.
It might be Wednesday. Good reminder. Thanks, Jill, because you have something prettywicked.com to look after. Are we going to talk about that? Can we talk about that one? That was a major news story.
Can we talk about how on the back of the boxes of the dolls it has go to wicked.com?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and wicked.com does not lead where people who are picking up the toys think it's going to lead.
This is the AI thing using creating the box art or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. Or children are going to get an education.
Or just people who are paid low wages putting stuff on there because that's what they thought, and it got approved. Like, yeah, we own wicked.com. Yeah, we're Disney. We own everything. And then someone went, should we just look at it? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anyone check the URL? Check.
Yeah, especially. Yeah, some of the season twos that we want to talk about next Wednesday maybe will be Silo season two, Kane season two, Diplomat season two. I don't know, anything that's a second season. Have a bit of a recap.
Which I've
Shrunken. So shrunken. Yes, and yes, we're right. That's why people, fired copywriters. What could go wrong? Why would we need sub-editors and editors to check over things that we're doing? We've got AI for that. Wicked.com is an excellent example of how telling the story of the Disney property. That's not quite right, ChatGPT. Yo, you're right. It is not right. It is not correct. Fucking crap.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
As a researcher.
Yeah. I love how quickly I can ask a question of it and then go, is that true? And it's like, no.
Yes. Sorry for the confusion. I just said something completely different to the reality. And this is the reality. And then you're like, hang on, is that true? Ah, no, sorry for the confusion. No.
You caught me up.
It just makes shit up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that thing is like, hey, how do I turn off the AI function search in Facebook? Well, you just go to settings and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that doesn't exist. No, you're right. Thanks.
I have noticed that my Google has now rolled out the AI search results at the top of the page.
Yeah.
Becoming useless. I don't even know how to find good information on the internet anymore. And it's my entire job.
Come on.
Sorry, everyone.
All I've got to say is...
Not awesome.
Ask Jeeves, no. This is your time. Come back now with a vengeance. We left him alone and we didn't ask him what
I
he was doing.
About Ask Jeeves.
And now he's just sitting there patiently going, I'll give you quantifiable metrics. Mm.
Only the real ones know Ask Jeeves.
Yes. Or AOL.
Oh, if anyone has any good search engine recommendations, I would be into that.
Oh, just Bing. Go for Bing.
No, Bing's sorry, AI Bing. Now.
Yeah.
I know. I was joking. That's because I deal so often with Microsoft and their AI shit. I'm like, yeah, I know that Bing is just another AI tool.
Well, that's going to be interesting because of all of those things that you can just ask it to the cloud, like either Siri or Google, or Alexa and stuff. I wonder how long till they are integrated into the AI results and you just start getting horse shit back. Like, ask it a question like, hey, is grass blue? Sure, grass is the blue. It's the bluest shade of every blue that's been to... Are you lying to me? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it knows that it's lying.
Yeah. And it doesn't care. It
doesn't have any kind of ethical concept behind it. It doesn't have guardrails for that shit, so there is no concept that lying, it's not, and the thing is, it's not lying. What I'm trying to work on a course that's explaining to people what fucking AI does, how it works, and it's just probability models. What's the most likely thing you want to hear? What are the next most likely words in this sentence, in this like structure that will work? And it's just like, so there's no lying, it's just going with what's most likely. Terrible.
Anything else that you're watching at the moment that's fun?
I'm
finished
very
the season three of the animated Critical Role. That was fun.
Vox Machina.
Yeah, does anyone know when the next season comes out? Do I have to wait a long time?
Yes. Actually, it's not as bad. So they did talk about it recently, that because there was a big gap between 2 and 3, because they weren't entirely sure, like they'd gotten enough to get 1 and 2 made with all the kickstarting and stuff like that. And then they kind of had to air them before they knew whether they were going to get 2 and 3. So they pretty much had to ramp up production again from almost from scratch for 3. But that 4 is much more further along the path. And their spin-off series as well, about the other characters from the Mighty Nine, that's very much well and truly in production. So they're doing great, and I'm fucking ecstatic for them. Like a bunch of lovely people being nerds and doing great.
I know that What We Do in the Shadows, 5th season, is it?
Sixth.
Sixth season. I'm not sure if this is the last one.
I think it is.
Yeah, the last. That's out at the moment, so you can get your last little hits of those. One's coming on, and yeah, another TV show that I'm enjoying is Lioness. Did you see that one? Have it come out?
The Zoe Saldana
one? Yep, and our oh god, I've had a mental blank. Australian actress married to Keith Urban.
Nicole,
yes, doesn't have a face that moves anymore.
I love that you have managed to orient her in your brain to Keith Urban, and that you have to remember her name.
That's because my hands touch the
only
hands.
By their connection to men you have done a sexist.
Damn it, I must be better. I must think more about when I think Nicole Kidman, I must connect that via sexism. The legend of BMX Bandits. BMX Bandits. Nicole Kidman, BMX Bandits. Nicole Kidman. Right. BMXs are like non-gender, aren't they?
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
I just love that everyone's just like, are they? Not sure.
I always remember that when I was a kid, there were bikes that were girls' bikes and boys' bikes, and the girls' bikes had a thing called a sissy bar. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What is a sissy bar?
I think it was like because girls' bikes had something that went between the seat and the front, whereas BMXs were a bit more open. I don't fucking know. It was some gendered bullshit about something that desperately didn't need to be gendered.
I thought that they were defined by the colour.
Oh, yeah, and the tassels coming out of the edges of the and sure. Spokey dokies, color of your spokey dokies. I have been fucking thoroughly enjoying The Penguin.
Yes, I've got to catch up on that.
It's wrapped up this week, so okay.
I'm a couple episodes behind.
I can't wait.
If you are to get into it, now is the time where it is all out, so you can watch it all in one big hit.
I can't wait to see. The second season of The Penguin, where they finally introduced Benedict Cumberbatch's
Penguin,
as his main villain. So it's Benedict Cumberbatch who can never pronounce Penguin.
Something that I had no knowledge on.
Did you?
He did a
nature documentary.
Yes. He did. What was the late night British chat show?
Graham Norton.
Graham Norton, thank you. And Graham Norton pulled out a clip of him doing a thing for a nature documentary, and cannot pronounce penguin.
He can.
I can't figure out who was directing that read.
But yeah.
Like, stop. Penguin.
No. Penguin. No. But I mean, that's the greatest thing is that he doesn't just have one pronunciation of penguin. He just has 9 different pronunciations of penguin, and he never gets all of the vowels in the right place. See here how the penguin or the penguin. It's like, what? Say it for us. Anyway.
Penguin. 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 We had a big week of trailers this week. We got new trailers for the Thunderbolts and What If and Captain America, which I was like, oh, yeah, they look pretty cool.
What was I watching the other day? Oh, there was like a, there's a promo thing they're playing on Disney Plus now before your show. And it's like some stuff that's coming out. So, yeah, I saw the What If Season 3 and Marvel Zombies. There's a new Wakanda something Black Panther animation as well that looks good.
Hmm. Yeah, and the Spider-Man one as well.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, this one, weird thing that I've never heard of, a whole bunch of trailers came out from essentially D23, but in South America.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a, just trying to see where it's Brazil, I think it was, that they did this massive kind of Disney Expo.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of new footage has been released and stuff like that. But a lot of it is in, well, subtitled with various different languages that other people are like, oh, shit, okay, right. So I like that they're actually going, you know what, we have audiences in other countries. Mm-hmm. Crazy. I'm trying to think, what else?
Anything that's a lot of things. That's not a thing I'll be excited about.
Sure. It's Christmas time and I've got a list. If anyone wants to buy me something specifically from that list, let me know. I'll shoot you a link. I know. I introduced Felicity to the concept of Amazon wish lists for influencers and ethots of either gender the other day. And she was like, so you mean you just put stuff you want online and people buy it and send it to you? And it's like, I'm like, yeah, that's a thing that happens. She's like, no, but why?
Because people like you and want to give you things.
Sometimes I just find it funny. It's kind of humorous. And no, I don't have an Amazon wish list for anyone out there, but we, you know, hey, that's fine. No Lego for me. Yes, I know. Thank you, Karina, reminding me. Sad. Oh, yeah. And Casper's in there. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Yay. Or the substitute teacher. That's what I'm going to call him now. Casper the substitute teacher.
Congratulations.
When did Casper come? Tuesday.
Yeah. He forgot it was Tuesday. I'm much the same, man.
I forget it's Tuesday all the time.
You know what?
You worry about that.
It's been a big week. We did a show last Tuesday, which was, just something that we thought, hey, this might be funny, and it wasn't. And then the rest of the week has just not been funny. So, you know, you're allowed to forget what day it is. We won't hold that against you.
Two of you went and watched a film. What did you think?
That's right. Shit.
Yeah, that happened.
And I saw Heretic last week.
The pastry giveaway was fantastic.
Oh my god, the swag we got after the movie was bizarre. Also, yep. They overordered on the lint balls, so I stuffed a tote bag full of chocolates before we went in. So I'm set for at least a week. The way I ate chocolate.
Just trying to sneak some fucking Lego in there, Quinny.
Oh, because Predakanga got some of the D&D Lego, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, cute. But yeah, it was a good movie. I wouldn't really call it like super horror-y. It wasn't very terrifying, but it was very an uncomfortable watch.
Right.
Yeah, it made you just feel like really uncomfy. It was a bit of an ick.
Oh, really? You got a bit of the ick from it? Did you?
Yeah, it was like cringe and ick and uncomfy.
I had like a really good 45-minute theological kind of discourse thing, and then another 45 minutes of like, oh, Jill, why do we end up keeping going to see films.
There was a moment where I kind of turned to Dion and I'm like, this feels like Barbarian all over again. Why do we always end up at these fucking weird movies?
why does anyone always end up underground and then, fuck, is that a creepy woman? Jesus Christ, not again.
Yeah.
But
it was a bit almost Barbarian again.
Yeah.
But it was great. Yeah, the acting was good. Hugh Grant was great.
Yeah.
Playing a creepy old dude.
It's Hugh's movie. We're all just living in it.
Yeah. One of the girls from Yellow Jackets is in it. She's really good.
I did love the that person in the audience when there was a particular scene, which I will not spoil for anyone, but it was being played out and it was a little bit kind of traditional horror and it was a bit thin, but she just started going, loudly.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Someone audibly gagging in the audience. It was great.
Oh, no.
Which
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, but there was something horrible going on the screen, but it was just like, oh my God, yeah, that's fun.
Very visceral reaction from the audience.
Nice. Excellent. Pete, if you're wanting something gentle but at the same time quite nice to watch, My Old Ass, it's a difficult one to recommend just for the title. It's called My Old Ass. It's a comedy, drama-y kind of thing with Maisie Stella, who I've not seen in much before, but Aubrey Plaza, who is in it. It's essentially a teenage girl who's getting ready to leave her hometown, drops a whole bunch of shrooms with her friends out in the woods, and instead of having a massive trip, the future version of herself rocks up and starts having a conversation with her. And the future version of herself is Aubrey Plaza.
You mean death?
Oh, I've seen, now that you've explained that entire plot, I now realize that I have seen an interview about that come up, and I will watch that.
I found it very nice, quite emotionally affecting, very funny, but also really nice to see a character explored who is openly queer, in fact in a very healthy group of queer friends, but then going, okay, well, maybe I'm not queer, maybe I'm bi, maybe I'm whatever, but also it doesn't matter because I'm dealing with the fact that my future version of myself is Aubrey fucking Plaza. And yeah, it's really good. It's worth a look. So
great. I was going to say, but Casper beat me to it. I want to see The Wild Robot. I haven't seen it yet, but that could be a nice palate cleanser. Yep.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Finished season 3 of Heartstopper. I'm like, there's no season 4 assigned just yet. And I really hope that they do because I love that show.
But how could it possibly exist when one of them is now a Wiccan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to go the poor taste fan cast and say let's have Kit, whatever his name is, play Hulkling just to keep the boys together.
Heartstopper season 4 or Agatha All Along season 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever the fuck that ends up being.
Yeah. Or Hulkmania and just start chucking them all in. Just be the Hulk show.
Just all Hulks all the time.
Yeah.
But only dude Hulks because She-Hulk was just unpopular with so many people.
And not Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no Hulk Hogan. Brother.
I get so protective of She-Hulk. I loved that show.
Yeah, it's great. We'll put a list before next week of the second season shows that we'll be chatting about next week. But yeah, that's your homework for next week. Second seasons. Season 2s.
Watch them all.
All of them. All second seasons.
You have 1 week. Go. Yeah.
Very specifically, I'm going to be reviewing the second season of Dallas. that one.
The
or,
new one or the old one?
Both. and the second season of The Days of Our Lives. That's what I'll be doing next week. Those are my picks. Sure. Actually, no.
Was probably what, like my, 70s?
My pick is actually the second season of Firefly. So there you go.
Yep.
Hard to find, but really rewarding when you get to it.
Oh, Pretakanga brings up Lower Decks. Been thoroughly enjoying that.
Yeah.
Thank God they shut down their TV arm. Sad.
Though the last episode had one of the deepest fucking cuts I've ever seen in any of those kind of things. They made a joke. So you remember in the 90s how there was that video VHS board game Atmosphere?
Yes.
Atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you didn't pronounce it right,
and
sorry.
And if you didn't press pause quick enough, it started again to more plot. You're like, no, press pause. We're not up to that.
So there was one of those, but it was for Star Trek Next Gen. And it had this actor who appeared in Star Trek later as another character entirely, who was the person, like, who was a Klingon who'd taken over the Enterprise. And everywhere you were moving around the board, like, occasionally he'd just appear on the screen and say, ah, whoever is on this spot, experience BIS, which basically meant pain and shame and stuff like that. And, like, it happened all the way through this fucking board game. And then just out of nowhere in, like, the Lower deck, somebody runs into each other in a car. It's like, experience BIS! You experience BIS!
Oh my god. Okay.
And I'm like, fuck me, that's deep cut.
Wow. Very niche.
Yeah, but I'm in the niche, so I'm okay.
We are niche. I think we've niched out way over time. We're over time, and as the AD for this particular podcast episode, I'm saying that's it. We've run out of grace. It's time to wrap it up for the day.
Oh, but could we not get one more setup?
I know it's 2 a.m. and we're all due back at 6 a.m. So stand by for your 3 a.m. email with your schedule for tomorrow, which the call time is 5:45. And also, if you're 30 minutes early, you're 2 hours late.
Okay, I'm cutting a little
fucking problem
on this.
Yeah, I know, I just don't have all the crippling addictions.
Thank you everybody for joining us. As always, please send any messages or voicemails or whatever to us. We'd love to hear from you, but you never do, so whatever. Drop in some money into the Ko-fi. Oh, that's great. Do a subscription. We love them. But just, you know, being part of things. That's the main thing. You're here, aren't you? We love you.
Yeah, thanks for turning up. Saying hi. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You made it. Now it's time for the wrap party.
Right, let's go make some bad decisions.
God, no. All right, we're going to go now. Bye.
For listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.